with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Let's see what God's going to do right here tonight. I feel something stirring and down on the inside right now. So I'm just going to preach to you. It's maybe a 15-minute sermon tonight. And hallelujah. That'd be great, wouldn't it? It would if I was done in 15 minutes. Verse number 1. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. We know not where they have laid him. Skip over to verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Second time she said that. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. If the Lord will help me here, I won't preach to you just a little while. Notice they said that when they get there, they seeth the stone taken away. And she says in verse 2, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. It's an empty, empty tomb. That wasn't the only thing that was empty. She was left with an empty feeling. I want to preach tonight on a little thought the Lord laid on my heart today while I was praying on emerging from that empty feeling. Emerging from that empty feeling. In the other Gospels that you read, you find that although this doesn't really give us the details of what they were doing and their purpose for going, the other Gospels tell us that they were carrying spices. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. So they had something that they were carrying. Mary Magdalene, the Bible said, that she came early when it was yet dark. Most theologians and people that have studied this said the reason that she came when it was dark is Mary was the farthest away. She was farther away than anybody was. So she had to get a bigger start in order to get there. And there's a lot of folks that are abiding in a dark place, looking for something, going somewhere, needing something in their lives. If you'll bear with me just a few minutes, we'll try to get on to that red-faced preaching that everybody so much really enjoys. But while I'm taking my time right here, Mary Magdalene had lost the best friend that she ever had in the world. And I don't know, friendship is something that's is so precious that it's so easy to take for granted. And I'm not sure that there's ever been a true value ever been placed on friendship. The importance the people play in our lives. And it gets tough sometimes to continue to make it when we lose some of our friends. I'm telling you, I like friends. I can't say, Brother Keith, that I've got a lot of people that I just absolutely just depend on with everything in me in evangelizing. We seemingly make friends for the week and move on to the next meeting and we're soon forgotten. And we have to go on to something else. But Mary Magdalene, in fact, in reading what little we can read about her, we don't know much about her background except the Scripture said that she had had seven devils. She had come from a very rough background. And most people believe that she was one of those that she walked the street. We don't know who her mother was, her father was, if she had any sisters or brothers. The only thing that we're introduced to her on the scene in the place where Jesus cast the devil out of her life. Are you going to help me here tonight? And so it gets to the place that finally she's gotten so accustomed to being in and among the multitude and the crowd where Jesus is that she lives every day just to get something else from the Lord. Something about the conversation. Something about the way that He moved. And I know that there is a new liberal view of this that have tried to make something illicit out of this situation. But there was no sensual love affair going on between Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. You hear me now? But what she had was a love for a friend that had showed her the attention that she needed in her life and had dealt with her greatest need. He had given her a reprieve and a break, and it broke the chains of bondage where the devil had bound her down. But I'm going to try to tell you here tonight, if you'll bear with me just for a little while here, it had gone all of those years, or what period I should say years, it could have been 6 months, it could have been a year that she was acquainted, but all the 400 years of silence that took place between the Old Testament and the New Testament without a prophet or a preacher, I do not believe was of any comparison to the 3 days of silence that took place after the death of Christ. You hear me? It does something to them. For here is a woman that knew Jesus in a way that some of us would only, come on now, a dream and wish with everything in us to get to know Him. She had a very close walk with this man called Jesus. And suddenly here she is one day. The crucifixion is taking place. She doesn't have the comforters that Mary, the mother of Jesus, has. She doesn't have the friends to come around her. And I feel like there is a sense of loneliness that begins to set in on her soul. I hope you'll help me here tonight and bear with me just for a little while. I'll try to get to preaching something here. It began to take its toll on her until she was probably a very miserable person. You realize that when you've seen Jesus every day of your life and suddenly He's no longer there, it has an effect on you. I mean, it affects your attitude. It affects everything about you, the way you treat others. When you get in a place absent from the presence of the Lord, and the only thing that she was going to find to soothe her conscience and to bring comfort for her soul was another visitation. If I could just look upon his face, if I can see the outline of the body, it'll be enough to subdue my fears for another day. Perhaps I can push. Come on now, this adversary that has suddenly risen up and begin to chant at her soul and tell her how she's going to go back, where she's going to end up. She could just get another quick view of him. Maybe willpower will allow her to stand for a few more days. But you see, to get back to my message here, she went to the tomb carrying something. She had an expectation that when she got there, that at the very least, she's going to get to see a dead Christ. She never anticipated. She wasn't looking for resurrection. She wasn't going looking for a miracle. Can I tell you tonight, some of you didn't come here looking for much either. You might have thought it was just another service. But God has got the ability that when our expectations are at the lowest, come on now, he's got a way of changing this around to make it a benefit to us and give us that we need in our lives. I've got to try to hurry and get to something here. You see, she wasn't looking for the stone to be rolled back. She wasn't looking for a napkin laying in its right place. She wasn't looking for the bandages and the clothes that they'd wrapped him in to be laying there. Come on, in that empty tomb. She went looking for Jesus. And when she got there, suddenly her heart began to drop. Have you ever just been so disappointed? And you say, but why would she be disappointed? The tomb is empty. I'll tell you why she's disappointed. She doesn't know where he's at now. She knew the way to the graveyard. And she knew, she knew, said some knowledge of where his whereabouts possibly could be. But now, she's in a state of confusion. She does not know where to go from here, which direction to take. You see, there are a certain number of steps that you and I, we can retrace from memory as to the last whereabouts or where we saw him at. But can I tell you, are you going to help me here tonight? You don't have to be disappointed when you get there and find that it's not the way you expected. There's going to be something different that's going to take place in your life. You see, at your first coming, you don't expect the coming of life. You don't expect to really get anything. In your first effort, it may reward you with absolutely nothing. Emptiness is the only reward for your effort. But can I tell you, if we'll make up our mind that we're going to stick with it and try again, it may be that resurrection will become a reality in our lives. Well, I'm going to try to tell you something here. This may be boring to you, but I don't like that empty feeling. I went to church services and, thought, for sure when I get there, tonight's going to be the night. We're going to shout. I've heard it said by a lot of good preachers that I really couldn't get a message. And a lot of times through the course of their experience, the Lord usually, it was because God was going to do something different. But unfortunately, I have a time or two been on the wrong end of that. I couldn't get a message. And they didn't have nothing either. And so we got there, and everything was empty. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the most, and y'all probably really think that it's just that I just love getting up here And I know some folks think that we just love just busting hide and climbing all over everything, but we really don't. But it's the most miserable feeling in the world to walk to the pulpit, come on with your spices in your hand, waiting to get a hold of the Lord. You got something that you're carrying, and you get there, and the stone is rolled away, and you ain't got no idea where he's at. Come on, you look around. Are you helping me here? You come on. I thought y'all said the Lord was in this place. I thought we was having revival. Where's he at? You see, it was going to be the first visitation after the resurrection that they were going for. Are you going to help me with this? They thought things were going to be different, but it turned out completely different than what they expected. It resulted in an empty feeling. But the amazing thing about this woman is she didn't live satisfied with this emptiness. While the other ladies that were with her went running back home, Mary Magdalene decided she'd stay around. Now wait a minute, something's not adding up here. We came to the tomb, there sits the guards, they may be asleep. Are you going to help me here? But something's not right here. This is not what I expected. I thought we'd get more out of this, but I'm going to try to preach to us tonight on how we can get over that empty feeling that seems to come into our lives. But there are some things that she did that will make a difference in our lives. It'll turn us around. I've got to preach to you here. It may not be really going to help you tonight. I do not know. But I am glad that when Mary didn't get it the first time, she didn't run back home and say, forget about it. She didn't look for the closest cliff and dive off in a suicidal tent. I'll tell you what she done. She lingered. There's got to be some clues. There's got to be some evidence somewhere around here to tell me where I can find Jesus. But see, some folks, when they go the first time, after a long absence from the presence of the Lord, they may not feel anything. I mean, you see, her intentions was, I'm going to take this spice and this myrrh and aloes, and I'm going to put it on. He's going to actually be at our fingertips again. And when they got there, there's nobody to get at your fingertips. Unless you can get excitement out of grave clothes. I don't know if it's going to make any sense or not. I'll have to turn to my wife, resident expert, on whether I make sense of my preaching or not. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? I'm not sure I'm getting it yet. I really ain't. But I'm going to try to tell you something here. Can you imagine with me for a moment that split second when she got to the tomb and the stone was gone and the first view is there's nothing there? I don't know how I'm going to preach this, the remainder of this. I sure hope it goes better than the beginning of it. Don't you? You can say amen if you'd like. It won't hurt my feelings a bit. But there was something that struck hold of her that I feel without a doubt sent her into a panic. Because one of the most difficult feats in life is when you want to see him and you cannot find him. You want to feel him, but he's nowhere around. It happens to the best of people. We suffer from those empty feelings. You see, it really doesn't matter if you've been saved for years, just got saved, or looking to get saved. We all struggle with those days. I wish I could tell you every time that I prayed, I got so caught up in it. Come on now. That I was just caught up into another world. But more times than not, I yawned my way through it. finding nothing. Nothing is there. It's a blank feeling. I don't understand why. God, who knows everything, knows I've made an effort. I've come this far. If He was going to get up, couldn't He have at least afforded me, come on now, a little bit of notice? Couldn't He have just stayed around a little while and at least, come on now, at least met me at the door? Is this the payday that I get for getting up so early and trying so hard? Are you hearing me tonight? But here is a woman that has every reason in the world to turn back and say there's nothing to it, because the very experience that she has lodged her faith in is suddenly vanished away, and there is absolutely nothing there. But the good news is she does not quit. She does not go home. She does not give in. But notice what the Bible says. There's something about not seeing the Lord. The first thing that she met is she met emptiness. But she gives us here a little bit of what we can do when we are empty. The first thing the Bible said in verse 11, yeah, come on now, after she came, the Bible said she stood. And she stood there weeping. Come on, that is an amazing thing. She could have ran. She could have walked away. We've already read previous to this that others have ran. They're already gone. They don't know where He's at. But they don't seem to me they're near as interested in looking. But she stayed. And that is the first key for us to get past that empty feeling, is we've got to be willing to stay with it. Sometimes whenever you can't feel anything, sometimes you've got to stand. Didn't the writer say, having done all this, stand therefore? The Bible said that Mary Magdalene stood. Hey, yeah, come on now. You can run off and try to find something else, but you're never going to find anything that will ever fill the longing of your heart quite like the power of Jesus. That's why when it took His place in your life, you can search the world over, you can look high and low, there's not a drug, there's not a passion, there's not a feeling that'll ever come up to the place, ain't it, like it is when Jesus is in your life. Well, she stood, and she was weeping. Something about being absent from the Lord broke her heart. I'm trying to preach, just a little thought here. The second way, and I'm not much on points. Y'all heard this all over the last week plus. I don't have many points. But the second thing that she did is she wept. She broke down. And if we're ever going to get over that empty feeling, we're going to have to get broken. Our heart is going to have to come apart to the place. I know that it is not, come on now, I don't know the word to use. What's modern lingo here? It's not cool. It's not the going thing. It's not in style to walk around with tears in your eyes. But I want to tell you something. When you can't feel Him, it's the best thing that I know to do. Because tears are a language that only God understands. I may be 35 years old nearly, but I'm one of them that absolutely believes in the power of a cry. There is nothing wrong with weeping. Can you see if anybody else is in the garden? At this point, we don't know it. But if they were, here stands a woman at the opening of a tomb. The stone is rolled away, and for no reason at all, as far as anybody else could tell, she's standing waiting for somebody to come, but there's nobody there. Why is she weeping? What's she crying for? The tomb is empty. I'll tell you why she's crying, because she doesn't know where He is, and she needs Him now more than ever in her life. I'll tell you what we need in this hour, is we need a heart that will get broken by the absence of Jesus, and until we break down and dedicate ourselves and are willing to stand weeping with tears, amen, in our eyes and a heart that is full of fear
to the consequences of a life. Another day. I can't go any farther. I've got to have him right now in my life.
You see, when you can't find him, she began to evaluate here. She began to call to remembrance where she come from. And she knew, where she'd be if it wasn't for the Lord. And now she knew where she was headed if she doesn't find him. Well, I wish I could preach to you tonight with everything that's in you. I want to tell you something here. She was weeping, but not only did she stop and she wept, the next thing the Bible said is that she stooped down. Amen. Or she knelt down. She hit her knees. Are you going to help me here? This is submission. This is one of the keys for us to having a successful revival and getting past that emptiness that is vexing our soul. We're going to have to get down and get another look. You see, it's not until after she kneels and looks again does she see the angel come up behind her there in the garden.
Well, man, oh man. This may be boring as it can be. This is different tonight. And that's all right with me. It's all right. But if we're going to go on and have a move of God and see His presence, it started with kneeling down. We may have to kneel down again. That verse said, come on now. He ran into the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away. Come on now. And he goes down and said, and he's stooping, talking about Peter and John. They were stooping down and they looked in. It started with some folks getting down on their knees. And if we're going to get anywhere in the rest of this meeting tonight, for this service, it's going to take some folks that's not only willing to come, but are willing to stay, willing to weep, and willing to kneel. I'm telling you, you say, but I don't want to go that far. It's you that's got that empty feeling. It's you that don't know what to do with yourself. And you can't hardly handle anything anymore. I mean, your nerves are bad. The pressure's getting to you. You can't hardly handle just living. But I want to tell you, if you're ever going to get through to this, you're going to have to buckle down and make up your mind. Just how bad do you want this? Oh, come on, y'all. She'd already looked once. Had anything changed between the first look and the second look? No, but she's looking for something. Maybe I overlooked him. Maybe he's in there and I didn't see. Maybe something else is going on. There's got to be a clue. And I want to tell you right here, we've got to make up our mind. We're going to stoop down. We're going to kneel down and give it another try. If you're not willing to go that far, it's little chance you're going to meet the gardener. Come on now. This garden, you're going to walk out of here as empty as you did when you came in.
I'm hurrying. She stopped. She wept. She knelt down. She stooped. And the Bible said, and she looked. She began a search that said to her heart, I'm not leaving. I'll never go back to my bed. I'm not returning to my chamber until I find him. You see, that's where we've got to make up our mind in this service tonight.
Well, it's just another overrunning revival they've got going on in Flatwoods. They can't get a preacher up there without wanting to keep him for a while.
I know somebody said that probably. I could be venturing a guess right here. Somebody probably said, is this guy ever going to get done?
Huh? But she said, I'm not leaving until I find something. I'm going to find somebody. Somebody here has got to have seen something. You don't move a stone that big without somebody knowing what's going on. It would have made a rumble in the community when the stone was rolled away. And I'll tell you right here, there's already been a rumble going through this community. And some have came and looked, and it was empty, and they went back home. But thank God for a Mary Magdalene, whose name means tower of rebellion. Thank God for a rebellious woman that made up her mind that she, come on now, she rebelled against human nature by staying around. Come on, this is one time her rebellion against what everybody else was doing paid off. She stayed with it. She got down to business. And she looked. And she looked. And she looked. And she seeth when she looks at another second time. They wasn't there the first time. But that second look. And she saw two angels. Come on now, robed in white. And as she's looking in, and they're looking at her as though they're expecting somebody to peep through that hole in the side of the mountain. I'm trying to preach to you here. And whenever she looked in, they said, listen to the words. Woman, why weepest thou? Huh. They're on the inside where all the action's taking place in the last couple of hours. They've been made eyewitness. Yeah, it kind of sounds like church, don't it? Huh? Kind of sounds like some of this what's been going on this week. There's some folks that's on the inside that's got some inside information. Come on, and you're just still on the outside wondering what all the commotion is about. And you look in there, and the angel says, what are you weeping for? They've taken away my Lord. Away? Who? Who? What? Nobody took him away. Are y'all going to help me right here tonight? I'm trying to help you. I got to try to tell you something here. I don't know if it'll be good or not. But they said, she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. All the while they're thinking, you know, there wasn't nobody took him. We came here and moved the stone, and he got up. He ain't in here. He's actually out there where she is. She just don't know it. Oh, glory to God. I really feel like preaching here. I may not look like it, but I'm feeling like it. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. This turning herself back, she was making ready to leave. And perhaps look in a different direction. But when she turned around, she went from seeing nothing to one more time at an altar on the outside of the resurrection. She went to seeing two angels. And now she sees that third person. Or in this case, could be the second person. She never heard him walk up. She never heard the crumple of dry leaves. She never heard the kicking of the garrock. She never heard the crumbling of the sand. But she looked one way and saw two angels. And she looked the other way and she saw a gardener. Or so she thought. I don't know if this even makes any sense. There's something better about this. I know this ain't what you want to hear tonight. It can't be. You ain't up shouting about it yet. I'm trying to help somebody right here tonight. And Jesus said to her the same thing that those two angels on the other side of that rock wall said. He said, come on now. And I don't know if she thinks she's hearing things. Come on now. It almost is like an echo. He said, woman, why weepest thou? Same question. And it goes a little farther. Whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? And she, come on now. The Bible said in verse 14, she knew not that it was Jesus. It had gotten to the place she didn't recognize Him. It had been so long since she'd seen Him. She didn't look for that familiar. Y'all ain't getting this yet. Come on, I'm sure you're not. But I feel like telling you right here. She made up her mind. She made up her mind. I'm going to find out something. But when Jesus asked this next question, she thought it was a gardener. By asking this, she said, He knows something. I don't know. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He's got some idea. I'm just going to ask Him. And she's supposing Him to be the gardener. I said, this, sir, they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they've taken Him. I don't know where He's at. But you may have some information. But I want to tell you, for a woman that did not recognize Him, He never forgot her. He breaks the silence. Amen. Of over 3 days and speaks a name, come on now, that echoes forever in the history of the world. He said, Mary! And for a heart that had reached an all-time low and couldn't go any farther, there was an immediate change in her altitude. And in her attitude, she goes from weeping. Hear me now. She goes from, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Until the next word she says, his master. She goes from, where is he? Until I know where he's at. She goes from being totally confused and no idea of direction to finding out she's right on course. It all changed when the Lord called her name. That's my heart's desire in this service tonight, to get a hold of somebody and let you know that the Lord is in the garden again. Come on, you've come up to that place where you're empty. You've tried it before and nothing happened. But can I convince you with a little old-fashioned preaching right here to get up and give it another try and go back and look in there again? You're going to see something different that you never saw before if you'll be willing to give it one more effort. If you'll just get up and try again, things are going to be different this time. If you'll get up and run to the altar and pray again. But pride puts a limit on us. And the adversary lays the excuses out before us. It's not going to do any good. Nothing in there the first time. It's not going to do you any good to look. But at some point in time, you're going to have to conquer the voice of the devil. Hallelujah. At some point in time, you're going to have to overcome those inner feelings and do what's best for your soul. There comes a time that you've got to overcome what the majority is doing. They're back in Jerusalem. They're talking about the aftermath, where they're going to go from here. I'm trying to help you here. Oh, but she has made up her mind. I'm starting right here. I'm on a journey from the dark side of life. I've come when it was dark, and I'm staying until it's dark again. I'm going to search. I'm going to flip over every headstone. I'll look behind every tree. He's got to be here. A body doesn't just disappear somewhere. But another look brought her a face-to-face conversation with Jesus. Hey, I'll tell you tonight, you will not know it until you try again. I've prayed before, and nothing happened. And then I prayed again. And you wondered what took place. Perseverance. I would not settle for anything less than what I came for. And I feel like tonight, you're here in this service tonight, praying. You've come here not by accident, but you come here on purpose. And you got in here, and it's as dry, as it can be. You thought, come on now, the heavens would open. And the Holy Ghost would be falling like a rainstorm tonight. And that we'd all be swept up into the presence of the Lord, shouting the victory. But you've got a little disappointed. When you got here, the stone was rolled away, and the Lord was nowhere in sight. After a short committee meeting with a few folks around you, you could decide to turn and head home. Or you could do what Mary Magdalene said do. You could run back up there and look again. Well, come on now, you see, you cannot just totally depend on what everybody else says. They looked, those men looked, you've looked, but I want to tell you, sometimes your eyes may deceive you when you're not expecting anything. Well, come on, that startling view. Well, come on, of a stone that's been moved to another location was enough to jar your faith to the place that you really don't think there's going to be anything in there. But it's worth another look. It's worth another opportunity to go down there and kneel and find out for yourself. I'm not, this is one time. I'm not taking John's word for it. He said it was a dead meeting. I'm not listening to Peter this time. Peter's already headed back home, saying they've already moved him. They don't want us around him. I've got to get my nets fixed. I've got to go back to fishing. But Mary said, I'm not going back to demon possession. I'm going to stay here until I find the Lord. Hey, listen, you've come this far, and just like it was for her, 3 days since she's seen, it's been 3 days, and here you are again. But I tell you tonight, it's time. The stone has been rolled away, but your heart is still empty. The entryway in has been cleared for passage. But there's nobody in there. Oh, I wish I could preach here. She stays and she looks until finally, long enough effort, she's finally in conversation with somebody. It starts out with the angels and ends with the Lord Himself. Oh, come on now. Through angels, it starts with just a little feeling. Come on, somebody probably thought, well, she's talking to herself. There ain't nobody in there. What's she doing? She's talking to an empty tomb. No, she's not. There's somebody in there. Are you hearing me? And something has changed between now and a while ago. Some things are beginning to turn around in somebody's life. I wish I could preach here tonight just the way I felt it this afternoon. I mean, I've struggled through this to this point. But maybe I can get us down here to the altar call and you'll be willing. Because there is somebody that's waiting for when you get on your knees after you've got done entertaining the angels and you've got done with the cold chills and feeling the enthusiasm. Come on, out of a newfound conversation. There is somebody else standing in the garden that'd like to have a word with you. And while you may not recognize him because of the absence, he has not forgotten who you are. He sees you in your condition, and he's right there ready to call out your name. And I feel the Holy Ghost right here tonight. I'm trying to tell somebody it's time to get up and out of that emptiness in your life. nothing happened. And when he, you know, he didn't say, it's me. When he said, Mary, she threw her arms right around his legs. And to say, I missed you so much. Hallelujah. I wondered if she had seven devils he'd cast out. Them seven devils and seven other spirits with him were waiting to come back. Come on now. And she was caught between a rock. Huh? Come on now. An empty tomb and hell ready for a takeover. Come on now. I'm not a mathematician. I didn't major in that in my high school education. Come on now. But one thing I know is that they was probably at least the seven, and then seven times seven, that equals 56 by my calculating mind. Come on now, Brother Jason. Hallelujah. I mean, now my mind's like a calculator too. It just usually shows E for error when I try to compute things. Y'all gonna help me here? But I can say, come on now, them 56 devils is after. They're gonna get you. And about the time they're ready to close in, Jesus says, Mary! And suddenly, I can see her as she throws her arms around just in time. As she avoids the siege of the adversary, the overthrow of Satan, as he's ready to grasp hold of her and carry her back out into a world of sin. Hey, I'm trying to help you here. I can see as he talks to her, and he said, touch me not. That means stop clinging to me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Y'all get that? Huh? You can't hold on to me now. But when I get to my Father's side, you can hang on forever. And I know he told her, go and tell the disciples what she had seen. Huh? Hallelujah. And that he'd spoken to her. Well, when she got done with this conversation and this interview with Jesus, her first message had to be to the devil. As she said, get thee behind me, Satan. He's alive. I'm not empty anymore. He's alive. Oh man, I wish I could preach tonight. Somebody right here in this service needs to hear me. Tonight's the night for you to make your declaration. That which was dead to you and was absent from you, the devil's trying his best to destroy you. You're up between a rock and a hard place, as the old saying goes. But tonight the devil's pressing on you, and you've come to that empty tomb. But I want to tell you that emptiness does not have to last forever. Amen. The Lord is standing right here in the garden, and he's going to make a conversion out of you. I feel like he's calling your name. Why don't you just get up and try it again? It's not going to do me good to get in the prayer line. You'll never know till you've tried. I probably won't get healed. I probably won't get saved. I guess we'll never know. Because the odds are, it's a 50-50 chance. But I got a feeling it's a much higher chance if you give it a try. In fact, I feel like tonight it's a 100% chance that you're going to get saved before this service is over if you'll get up and just give it a shot. Come on now. You don't have to leave here feeling empty, miserable. Come on now. You can't even sleep. I mean, it's bothering you so bad. I need him right now. I tell you where he's at. He's standing right here at the entrance of an empty tomb. And he's got a conversation for you. Mary. Maybe it's not Mary in this service. Maybe it's not she, but it's rather he. But what if I don't get it? What if you do? You're the one that's going to have to kneel and weep. My praying all night long is not going to do anything for you but give you an opportunity. If I had a bucket full of salvation and I could pour it on you, I would. But tonight,
can I finish this?
As far as I'm concerned, there's nobody else here in this service but you and him. It does not matter about everybody else. This meeting is all about you. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and then he revealed himself to the church. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's all about you. Nothing else matters. When it comes right down to where it's at, salvation is between a man and the Lord. The multitude has nothing to do with it. What's that woman doing in the garden? Who's she holding on to? The same Jesus she held on to days in the past. The same one most people believe that came in with an alabaster box and broke it and anointed his feet until she loved him. It's the same one that had a relationship before and knew what it was like and was longing for it again. It's right now come down, and I'm fixing to give this altar call. Because I feel that Jesus, come on now, for all that he may have been absent in this service, has walked right in where you are. And he's waiting to see what you do now. He's over behind the stone. But when you kneel down this time, he's walking out from behind the rock. And he's going to meet you at the opening of the tomb. Because there, amen, at the tomb is where the dead is laid. And where resurrection comes to pass. It's where new life begins. It's the beginning of a brand new day. That's where everything changes. Old things are passed away. And all things become new. That tomb may be empty, but it's where you can lay your old self down and get up in newness of life. My wife comes. I wish for everything in me I could find the words in my limited vocabulary to touch your heartstrings and pull you into this altar.
I just keeps rolling over in my mind, and I'm just going to say it. It ain't going to do me no good. I've already looked before.
Look again. Look again. Look again. turn yourself back and look again. Look again. He could have called a few nights ago. He walked into this service and he called Rocky's name. I mean, everybody else might not have been as moved as Rocky was. But Rocky knew that voice. And a few days ago, he called Jason's name. Jason had heard it before. And for everything that was unrecognizable in his life, when the world was in chaos, the moment that he spoke your name, everything came into focus. And you suddenly knew who exactly. That's not a gardener dressed in white raiment. No, no, no. Come on, that's not a trowel in his hand. No, no, no. That's not a hole. He's not there planting roses. He's like, that's my Lord. That's who that is. And I'll tell you right here tonight, he's calling your name, friend. He's calling your, I feel it. Not in my soul. He's calling your name. Come on now. Everything in the world has become unrecognizable. The world is in chaos. Nothing looks good anymore. You're not happy with food. You're not happy with raiment. You're not happy with television. You're not happy with pleasure. You're not happy with anything. But the moment that God calls your name and breaks the silence, come on now, then I'll tell you, that is when true happiness and joy will again flood your soul. So tonight, as my wife is playing, and the Holy Ghost is dealing, He's calling your name. You can't resist this forever. You hear me? You can't resist this forever. Hey, what are you waiting for? It's just one more prayer. It can't hurt to try. Are you going to come and give it a chance? Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to you. Come on, church. You ought to be praying. God's calling your name, somebody here.